जय जमुना धीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा रामा राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय राधा माधव राधे जय नृसिंहदेव जय नृसिंहदेव जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद శిల ప్రభుపాదకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది హరే కృష్ణ. సో టుడే we are going to discuss little bit about Srimati Radharani. So before getting into the discussions, let me chant the auspicious prayers.
నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం సుఖముఖాతమృత ద్రవసంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముఖురహో రసికా భువిభావకాః நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்யம் நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வியாசம் ததோ ஜயம் முதீரயேத். நஷ்டப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவத்யுத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய.
ஸோ 2 years பிஃபோர் ஐ வாஸ் கிவன் த சேம் சர்வீஸ் ஆஃப் ஸ்பீக்கிங் சம்திங் ஆன் ஸ்ரீமதி ராதாராணி, அண்ட் டியூரிங் த டைம் ஐ ஸ்போக் ஆன் திஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மசமிதா, விச் எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ஸ் த தத்துவ ஆஃப் ஸ்ரீமதி ராதாராணி. பட் since the purport is very big, we could not finish the purport. So it just was halfway through. So what I am going to do is just going to continue from where I left. That's what I am going to do. I am going to continue that purport. So the shloka is known to everyone, so I am, even though it is not written there, so I'll chant. So those who know, you can chant back after me.
Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi, Tabhirya Yeva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi, Goloka Yeva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto, கோவிந்தமாதிபுருஷம் தமஹம் பஜாமி.
ஓகே, லெட்ஸ் டூ த வேர்ட் டு வேர்ட். ஆனந்த, பிளஸ், சித் அண்ட் நாலெட்ஜ், மயா கன்சிஸ்டிங் ஆஃப் ரச, மெலோஸ், பிரதி எவ்ரி செகண்ட், பாவிதாபிஹி who are engrossed with, tabihi, with those, yaha, who, eva, certainly, nijarupataya, with his own form, kalabihi, who are the parts of portions of his pleasure potency, goloke, in goloka vrindavana, ஏவ சர்டன்லி, நிவசதி ரிசைட்ஸ், அகிலாத்ம ஆஸ் த சோல் ஆஃப் ஆல், பூதஹ ஹூ எக்ஸிஸ்ட், கோவிந்தம் கோவிந்தா ஆதிபுருஷம் த ஒரிஜினல் பர்சனாலிட்டி, தம் ஹிம் அஹம் ஐ பஜாமி வர்ஷிப். Translation, please repeat. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, sakis, embodiments of the extension of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. So before getting into the purport, I'm going to chant the Mangalacharana prayers, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English being his English, we cannot read the whole purport. At least I cannot read the whole purport and try to explain. So we're going to go simply some line by line or few lines after few lines.
ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಂಶಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ. ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮಾವೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ನಮಾಮ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಜಯಪ್ತಾಕಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿತ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯಪದಾಯಿನಿ ತೈಕೃಪಾಪದಾಯಿನಿ ಗೌರಕದಾಮದಾಯ ನಗರ ಗ್ರಾಮತಾರಿಣಿ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಗಾಯತೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ದಿನತಾರಿಣಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮೀಶ್ವರಂ. ಕಥಾಂಚನ ಸ್ಮೃತೇಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದುಷ್ಕರಂ ಸುಕರಂ ಭವೇತ್ ವಿಸ್ಮೃತಿ ವಿಪರೀತಂ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಮಾಮಿತಂ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೋ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೋರ್ in the last class 2 years before, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains a very important point. So that comes in the first line itself. He says, although the Lord Absolute and His potency are one and the self same existence, they still exist eternally as separate entities, as Radha and Krishna. So the point which we should understand here is that Radha and Krishna, they are not in one sense separate from each other, but in one sense they exist eternally as two separate identities, Radha and Krishna. So this is the basis of the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. They are same, at the same time they are different. How they are same? Because they are the potency and the potent. How they are different? Because they exist as different identities. But this happens simultaneously, and how it happens simultaneously we cannot understand, because this is spiritual world. But we simply understand that it happens simultaneously. That is why this tattva is called achintya. Achintya means one which cannot be dissected and understood by mundane logic. It is called achintya. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes on to explain the interaction between these same identities who actually exist as different identities. So in that process he actually explains that Krishna is the Vishaya and Srimati Radharani is the Ashraya. Vishaya means the subject. The subject matter of enjoyment, or the subject matter who enjoys everything, is Krishna, and his enjoyment is actually sheltered through Radharani, and she is called as Ashraya. So that is, and how this enjoyment and interaction takes place, this enjoyment and interaction takes place through this 64 artistic qualities which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lists in his purport, all these 64 artistic qualities. So the interaction between the potent Lord and his pleasure potency takes place through the medium of these 64 artistic qualities which have their source in Krishna. So that's why Krishna is known as Kalanidhi. He is the source of all these arts. The 64 arts, he is the source. And Radharani is called as Kalavati.
because she is the practitioner of all the 64 arts. She is the expert practitioner of all the 64 arts. So the interaction between Radha and Krishna are the interactions between Kalanidhi and Kalavati. And in order to expand this potency more, Radharani expands herself into number of sakis who are the expansions of her own potency, which means who are the expansions of Krishna's own potency. That's why in the translation it says that vitalized and permeated by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. So the identity of the gopis is simply the ever blissful spiritual rasa of Sri Krishna. So the most important lesson which comes from this understanding is that Radha and Krishna, even though they are two different identities, they are not different from each other in one sense. So the conclusion which comes from this statement is that Radharani belongs exclusively to Krishna, and the gopis also belong exclusively to Krishna. There is no question of Radharani or the gopis belonging to somebody else. There is no question of this arising. So the sambandha or the relationship between Radharani and Krishna and the gopis is clearly swakiya. But the bhava or the sentiment with which they come and have pastimes is parakiya. This is a very important distinction to make and understand while we try to explore the relationship between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. The moment we start thinking that Radharani belongs to somebody else, this is sahajya bhava. This is the root of all offenses. So there is no question of thinking that Radharani belongs to somebody else, because Radharani is exclusively Krishna's and Krishna exclusively belongs to Radharani. This exclusivity in the relationship is so pure that it cannot be understood in mundane platform. But still, there is the existence of this parakiya bhava or the sentiment of paramarship. So how this comes about and what is the reason for this sentiment to come about and how to understand this, this is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, quoting Jiva Goswami very nicely in this purport. So anyone who wants to understand Krishna conscious philosophy, they should actually read this purport. But of course, to read this purport, you require a dictionary behind you, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English is like that. So keep a dictionary, we should keep a dictionary and read this purport. And this purport also is to be read many times, because to understand each sentence, it may take a few lifetimes to understand each sentence of this purport. But still we should attempt to read this purport, because this purport is a foundational understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. That who is Krishna, who is Srimati Radharani, and who are the gopis, and what kind of great good fortune Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us simply by taking this simple process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is an unimaginable good fortune that by such a simple process, such a great thing, such a great truth should be revealed to us, and we have the real and present opportunity to take part, to become part of this truth, which is the highest of all cognitive potencies. So this is the actual good fortune which we have in our hand. Of course, let's get a little more into the purport. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, because I am going to read from where I left, so this is going to start from somewhere from third paragraph. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has established this principle that there is no difference between Krishna and Radharani, and Radharani belongs exclusively to Krishna. There is no question of Radharani belonging to somebody else. Yet the paramarship is a sentiment which actually is there, created by Yogamaya in order to enhance the pastime potence, the pastimes of the Lord. So now he is saying that there are some who, being unable to understand the drift of his statements, give meanings of their own invention and indulge in useless controversies. Here he is talking about the statements of Jiva Goswami. Sri Rupa and Sanatana say that there is no real and essential distinction between the leelas visible and non-visible. The only distinction lies in that one is manifest in the mundane sphere, whereas the other is not so. In the supramundane manifestation, there is absolute purity in the seer and the seen. A particular fortunate person, when he is favored by Krishna, can shake off the worldly shackles and connections and enter the transcendental region after attaining the realized state of varieties of rasa that is available during the period of novitiate. Only such a person can have a view and taste of the perfect and absolute pure leela of Goloka. Such receptive natures are rarely to be found. He who exists in the mundane sphere can also realize the taste of Chidrasa by the grace of Krishna by being enabled to attain the realized state of service. Such a person can have a view of the pastimes of Goloka manifested in the mundane leela of Gokula. There is certainly a difference between the two classes of eligible seekers of truth. Until one attains the perfectly transcendental stage, he must be hampered by his lingering limitations in his visions of the pastimes of Goloka. Again, the vision of the transcendental realities varies according to the degrees of realization. The vision of Goloka must also vary accordingly. It's a big paragraph. Let's take it step by step. So the first point which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying is that there is no difference between the manifest and the unmanifest leela of the Lord. It's not that the unmanifest leela is pure and the manifest leela has a touch of mundane because it is manifest in the material world. Both the manifest leela and the unmanifest leela are transcendental. They are pure. They don't have any touch of the mundane. So, when a person who is sufficiently purified, when he observes this leela, he does not see any difference in the quality of the manifest leela and the unmanifest leela. But when a person is not sufficiently purified, then he definitely sees a difference between the manifest and the unmanifest leela. And when he sees the unmanifest leela, because of his mundane consciousness, he projects that mundane consciousness into the understanding of the manifest leela. So when he projects this mundane consciousness, then he comes to a conclusion that Krishna and Radharani have an illicit relationship. Radharani is married. Krishna is doing something immoral. And Krishna is, his behavior is loose. Radharani's behavior is loose. The gopis' behaviors are loose. Krishna is some kind of a playboy. All these things, they come to this conclusion because a seer's mundane consciousness is simply projected on the pure leela. So here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is making a very important statement. He says, in the supermundane manifestations, there is absolute purity in the seer and the seen. The seer is Krishna and
the scene are all the gopis. So there is absolute purity there. So there is complete harmony between the seer and the seen, and also all other residents of the spiritual world. There is absolute harmony in the spiritual world. In spiritual world, nobody is thinking. When we speak about spiritual world in this context, we are only speaking about Goloka Vrindavana. We are not even speaking about the Vaikunthas, let alone the Brahmajyoti or other things. We are simply, when I say spiritual world, for all practical purposes, I am talking exclusively about Goloka Vrindavana. Because there is a difference between the seer and the seen in all other spiritual realms also, including the Vaikuntha. Even though the level of purity in Vaikuntha is extremely high, and Vaikuntha is perfect, it is not most perfect. This is a very fine distinction. We should not think, when we say Vaikuntha is not most perfect, we should not think that there is some defect in Vaikuntha. It's simply that in Vaikuntha, the enhancement of rasas are not complete. In Goloka, the enhancement of rasas are complete. That is why Goloka is most perfect and Vaikuntha is perfect. It is not imperfect. To think that Vaikuntha is imperfect is an offense. Because Vaikuntha is also the Lord's place. Is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means there is no defect. There is no misery. So one should be very careful while approaching these subject matters. We should not approach these subject matters with casual mentality. It should be approached with proper mentality. That the residents of Vaikuntha, they are all in prema, but along with that prema, they have two things mixed with them. One is the awe and reverence which they have for the Lord, because the Lord is seen as the maintainer there. He is seen as the all-powerful personality there. So they have this awe and reverence for the Lord. And second, they also, some of the souls also have the desire to reside in Vaikuntha, along with the desire to serve the Lord. So this desire to reside in Vaikuntha is slightly separate from the desire to serve the Lord. So such even very minute separation of desires is not seen in Goloka Vrindavana. In Goloka Vrindavana, there is no question of anybody having any other desire than the desire to please Krishna. And the embodiment of that desire to please Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So everyone is simply thinking how to please Krishna. No one has any other agenda there. Because no one has any other agenda there, there is no difference between the seer and seen in the spiritual world, which is Goloka Vrindavana. There is absolutely no difference. And because there is no difference, the leelas and the pastimes and the manifestation of the pastimes are perfectly understood there without any contamination of the selfish desires of the jiva. But in the material world, there are selfish desires for the jiva. And these selfish desires are caused by the influence of the three modes. The influence of the three modes is again caused by the desire of the jiva to associate with the material world away from Krishna and to enjoy the material world away from Krishna. So this separatist mentality of the jiva, which is seen in the material world, actually blocks the pure vision of the jiva. So because of this separatist mentality of the jiva, which is explained very nicely by Kapiladev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the science of devotional service, Kapiladev explains that there is pratak bhava, there is actually the separatist mentality of the practitioner of devotional service. He is talking about the sadhakas. So when there is influence of the three modes in our sadhana, then we have desires which are other than the desires of the spiritual master. We have our own aspirations within the devotional service which are other than the aspirations of our spiritual master. So this, our own desires and our own aspirations actually become a roadblock in understanding or in developing the pure vision of the pastimes of the spiritual world. But by the practice of sadhana bhakti and by practicing strictly the four regulative principles and by trying to chant the holy name without offense, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can gradually purify his vision. So that's why here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that within the observers, there are two qualities of observers. One is the vision of a sadhaka, the other is the vision of a siddha. The siddha or a perfected person, even though he is within the material world, he is able to perfectly comprehend the prakat lila of the Lord without any mundane contamination because he has the purity of that vision. As long as one is a practicing devotee and as long as one is impeded by the three modes, one will not be able to have that perfect vision. Then one's vision will correspond to one's purity. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yathamam prabadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasaha. A very important principle which Krishna says, that to the extent you surrender to me, to that extent you can see what I am. But when Krishna deals with the gopis, he clearly says that I am not able to reciprocate your surrender because the reciprocation of your surrender is beyond my capacity. So that is the level of surrender of the gopis. So this is the distinction between a pure soul and a practicing soul. So Krishna makes the distinction in Bhagavad Gita and then gives us that key by which we can open the door of Goloka. That one has to carefully surrender to Krishna. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnanakarma dhanavrutam anukulyena krishnanusilanam bhakti ruttama. One has to examine his surrender with the conditions which is given by Rupa Goswami in this shloka. Anyabhilashita sunyam. That how clearly one is free from mundane desires. Jnanakarma dhanavrutam. How pure is one's practice of devotional service that it is neither covered by fruitive desires nor it is covered by the desire for impersonal liberation. Jnana karma dhyanavrata. And then anukulyena krishnanu silanam. Whatever we do, it should be pleasing to Krishna. And also it should be done in a mood to please Krishna or to please the spiritual master. And whatever we do in a mood to please Krishna and to please the spiritual master should also be done strictly according to the instruction of the spiritual master. It's not that I want to do something, I want to please Krishna with what I want to do, but I want to do it whimsically. No, it should have the sanction of the spiritual master. This is called anusilanam. And there's also another aspect of anushilanam, that it is not stopped by any material circumstances. It's not that the different aspects of the material world has some effect on how we practice our devotional service. This is also another aspect of anushilanam. This is an important lesson we actually learn from the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. That we see that there are so many impediments for Srimati Radharani to come and meet Krishna or for Krishna to meet Srimati Radharani. But all these impediments never become a problem in their meeting. Somehow they find a way to overcome all these impediments and they do meet. So this is an important lesson which Radharani is teaching to us. That if you want to meet Krishna, then there are going to be impediments. This material world is meant to make these impediments.
But when the desire to meet Krishna is so intense, then the whole dham actually moves Krishna and Radharani towards each other. Same way, when the desire to please the spiritual master is so intense, then the sadhaka can see that Krishna removes the impediments from his path of devotional service. Krishna himself promises that in Bhagavad Gita. He says that by my mercy, you will be able to overcome all the difficulties and you will be able to chant the holy name without offense. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this also very nicely explained that the desire to practice devotional service is actually the price we pay for practicing devotional service. Tatra laulyam, apimulyam, ekalam. So here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, until one attains the perfectly transcendental stage, he must be hampered by his lingering limitations in his vision of the pastimes of Goloka. Again, the vision of the transcendental reality varies according to the degree of realization, so the vision of Goloka must also vary accordingly. It means that in Bhagavatam it is explained in the first canto, second chapter, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattva yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjate. So it says that the absolute truth, this non-dual substance, is realized in three phases by all the transcendentalists as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So it's not that every transcendentalist has the vision of the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. Some of them are satisfied with the Brahman feature, some of them are satisfied with the Paramatma feature, and some of them actually get to know the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. But within the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, again there are distinctions. That's what it says. The vision of Goloka must also vary accordingly. So within the realization of the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, there are multiple distinctions which are there. The realization of the Bhagavan feature in Vaikuntha as Vaikuntha Narayana. There is realization of Bhagavan feature as Rama in Ayodhya. There is realization of Bhagavan feature in Dwaraka as Krishna with opulence. There is realization of Bhagavan feature in Mathura as Krishna mixed with opulence and sweetness. And there is realization of Bhagavan feature in Goloka as Krishna as a transcendental cowboy. And within the realization of Krishna as a transcendental cowboy in Goloka, again there are gradations in understanding that feature. According to the different rasas, one actually relates with Krishna. So here it says that the vision of Goloka must also vary accordingly. So it's only those fettered souls who are excessively addicted to worldliness or devoid of the devotional eye. Of them, some are enmeshed by the variegatedness of the deluding energy, while others aspire after the self-annihilation under the influence of centrifugal knowledge. Though they might have a view of mundanely manifested pastimes of the Supreme Lord, they can have only a material conception of those visible pastimes, this conception being devoid of transcendental reality. Hence, the realization of Goloka appears in proportion to the eligibility due to the degree of one's self-realization. The underlying principle is this, that though Gokula is as holy and as free from dross as Goloka, still it is manifested on the mundane plane by the influence of the chit potency, yoga maya. So here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is talking about two more category of observers. The first category of observer he is talking about is the materialistic sinful people, the anyabilashis. And the second category of observer he talks about is the mayavadis. So even though the Mayavadis and the materialistic people have a view of the Goloka pastimes in the mundane manifested pastimes of Gokula, still they cannot see the transcendental nature of these pastimes because of their own limitations. The sinful person who is simply enamored by the variety of the material world, who simply thinks that this material world is everything and this body is meant simply for sense enjoyment, he actually sees Radha and Krishna as sense enjoyers. He thinks these are some stories which is meant for sense enjoyers. So he thinks that they are also like me. I am also enjoying, they are also enjoying. So there is nothing great about being a god. God is also running behind girls and he is also enjoying. I am also running behind girls and being enjoying. So what is the big deal? Let me just do what I am doing. After all, I am doing what God is doing. So this mentality a sinful person develops. So when he approaches the pastimes of the Lord, he approaches them with enjoying mentality. He simply reads those pastimes as the mundane affairs between a boy and a girl. When a Mayavadi sees these pastimes, he becomes completely afraid of these pastimes. He thinks that this is complete Maya and this is completely deluding. There is no question of a relationship of man and woman in spirituality. This is Maya. So Krishna is Maya. Radharani is Maya. The gopis are Maya. He is so much afraid of them. He doesn't even want to touch them. And when he touches them, he grows in great length how to explain that how this is all simply Brahman. There is no variety. There is no pastime. There is no rasa. There is no variegatedness. It's all just Brahman. The variety, the pastimes, the variegatedness, everything he is so afraid of. Because he thinks that the moment I accept variety, I will fall down. The moment I accept variegatedness, I will fall down. He is paranoid of Krishna. Mayavadis become paranoid of Bhagavatam. They become paranoid of Krishna. They don't want to touch it. When they touch it, they take great care to destroy Bhagavatam. That is the reason why Mahaprabhu said that Mayavadis are Krishna Aparadis. And if one tends to hear Mayavada Bhashya, then everything of their spiritual life is destroyed. So these are the two other seers who actually see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So I will stop here. We'll see if there are some comments, questions. It's a long purport. Maybe when I get opportunity after some more years, next Radhashtami, I'll continue with this purport. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you told that we need knowledge how to approach Radha Krishna through different processes, like different level of spiritual advancement. But usually you see in our life, we have that knowledge and we are acting on Jnana platform. We have that knowledge, but we are not able to act on Vijnana or Anandamaya platform, like the Brahma Pucha, the five stages of development of consciousness. So Jnana platform, we see the devotee, they have that knowledge, all that, how to deal with situation and how to follow the instruction of a spiritual master. But we got inertia, like in due course of time in devotional service, and we are not able to proceed on the further platform Vijnana to practically follow all these instructions to approach Radha Krishna, the ultimate goal. So how is happening? Like, you know, what are the reasons for that?
I explained that the influence of the three modes in the practice of the devotional service is the reason for that. That as long as one allows the influence of three modes in this practice of devotional service, one will always have separatist mentality. Separatist mentality means that how can I enjoy separately from the instruction of the spiritual master. So the idea is that one should carefully and consciously avoid the influence of three modes. So how to carefully and consciously avoid the influence of three modes? The way to carefully and consciously avoid the influence of three modes is to follow four regulative principles very strictly. So how to follow the four regulative principles very strictly? For that we should know what are the four regulative principles. So what are the four regulative principles? The first regulative principle is that no meat eating. So what does no meat eating mean? No meat eating has two connotations. One is that we should not eat what is inappropriate, but we should also eat what is appropriate. So what is appropriate to eat? Only prasadam is appropriate to eat. So one should eat only Krishna prasadam. One should strictly follow this vow that one eats only Krishna prasadam. One does not eat ice cream. I'm talking about mundane ice cream, not this ice cream, biscuit, Coca-Cola. No, nothing. Simply Krishna prasadam. If possible, the prasadam which is cooked by devotees and offered to Krishna with love. That should be the standard. We should strive to follow this standard. And when we strive to follow this standard, Krishna will help. Of course, he will test. And when we give up, then Krishna will not help. He will say, okay. How much ever you surrender, that much ever I will take care. So the first thing is to purify our eating process. Because we are what we eat. So one should have this idea that I should only and strictly accept Krishna prasadam. The best way to do it is to cook. Or to make sure that devotees are cooking it. When we become strict in this, then about 50-60% of our problem is solved. Then the next regulative principle. What is that? No intoxication. No intoxication means we should not drink alcohol, we should not have drugs. All these are gross. Okay? But there is one more thing which intoxicates more than all these things. What is that? That's pride. No intoxication means one should not be proud of anything. One should be very humble. One should practice humility. One should practice humility very nicely. One should try to remain humble under all challenging circumstances. This is real no intoxication. Because pride is the biggest intoxicant which one can have. And the moment we start chanting Hare Krishna, pride comes along. We start thinking, oh, I am a great devotee. I am chanting Hare Krishna. I am initiated. I am this. I am that. It's all pride. So pride is the biggest intoxicant one can have. And it looks even all right to have, to be proud, because people are paying obeisance to us. People are telling us, oh, you are a nice devotee. People are telling us, oh, you are doing such a nice service. So it looks as if it is all right. Oh, I am a nice devotee. I am doing so many nice things. But this is intoxication. No intoxication means no pride. One should not be proud under any circumstances. Of course, one is allowed to be proud about his spiritual master. And that also in a proper way. That I am the servant of such a great personality. That pride is okay. That pride is okay. But the pride comes from the fact that I am the servant. Not that I am the servant of spiritual master, so everyone should pay obeisance to me. That's nonsense. So no intoxication means no pride. So no meat eating means only Krishna prasadam. No intoxication means no pride. And then no gambling. This is the toughest thing. It is the toughest regulative principle to understand. When we think that we can get happiness away from Krishna, we are actually gambling with this human form of life. So no gambling means no question of expecting something away from Krishna. No gambling means being completely satisfied with whatever material condition Krishna provides us. This is called no gambling. to think that I can get some happiness by my own effort is gambling mentality. Because there is no question of getting something by our own effort. Materially. Even spiritually, we make our effort, but we simply depend on the mercy of the Lord so that our efforts are recognized by the Lord. So this is called no gambling. This is the most toughest of the regulative principles to understand. Because always somewhere in the corner of our mind, our false ego is telling that you can get something out of this material world. You can get something out of this material body. And when we have this idea that I can get something out of the material world or I can get something out of this material body, this is gambling mentality. So this is called no gambling. And finally, no illicit sex. What does no illicit sex mean? It means that one man should be satisfied with one woman and one woman should be satisfied with one man. Nothing more. If you can be satisfied for a man, if he can be satisfied without women, is fine. But if at all, if he needs a woman, whatever woman Krishna provides him, he should be satisfied with that one woman. And whatever man Krishna provides, then the woman should be satisfied with that one man. No question of looking here and there. This is the austerity of devotional service. So, the idea is to understand what are the four regulative principles leading us to. Something in gross platform everyone understands. No meat eating, oh we should not eat meat. No illicit sex, oh we should not have sex outside marriage. And then no intoxication, I should not drink, I should not have drugs. No gambling, I should not play cards or I should not invest in stock market. Oh, fine, these are all things which people understand. But the regulative principles are leading us to something which is much more deeper than what we see in the gross platform. The regulative principles are actually our fence against the influence of the three modes. So that fence should be quite strong. When one's fence is quite strong, then there is no question of incursion of unnecessary desires. As long as one gives way for the modes to actually influence their practice of devotional service, one will always have this problem. That's why Prabhupada named this society as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One should become conscious of what is happening to his devotional service. One should never allow his devotional service to drift in the three modes. The moment we do it, then everything else becomes complicated. Everything else becomes complicated. Let alone understanding the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, one will not even be able to understand the instructions of the spiritual master. Pastimes of Radha and Krishna are somewhere there. It's so high. Because it is Radha Ashtami and because I was asked to speak, I am simply speaking. Otherwise, they are somewhere there. We have to simply understand that we are not this body. So this is the first thing. Without understanding we are not this body, where is the question of understanding Krishna and Radharani? Or where is the question of understanding the spiritual master himself? So in order to understand that we are not this body, we should follow the four regulative principles strictly. We should understand where the four regulative principles are leading us to. We should become intelligent. We should become conscious of what we are doing with our life. Human life is not meant for gambling and losing the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. So when that realization is there, then one at least starts becoming aware that he should chant properly. Not the question of understanding Radha and Krishna. It's a question of chanting properly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when one chants properly, the holy name has everything. everything else becomes revealed. So the whole problem or the whole point is that the foundation of our sadhana, which is chanting the holy name, it has to be consciously purified. And that is not even the goal of our sadhana. That is just a prerequisite of our sadhana. Because purity is not the goal. Purity is simply a prerequisite of sadhana. So when that prerequisite of the sadhana is addressed properly, then rest of it becomes proper, or rest of it becomes manifested. Till the time we are not addressing that foundational sadhana properly, till the time we don't follow the four regulative principles properly, we'll always have problem. Always have problem. I think we should stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srimad Radharani ki jaya. Radhashtami Maha Mahotsav ki, Brahma Samhita ki, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur purports ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. Prabhupada ki jaya.